Grandma will read us a story.
You want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen. Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, Grandma,
and okay, kids, come on. Get in here, hurry. Awesome. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Reading a story, that sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Grandma. One of the most exciting stories Jesus told was about 10 sleepy girls. They were bridesmaids, all dressed up for a wedding, all eager to take part in it, and half of them never got there. As a ceremony was to be held in the evening, each girl had a little oil lamp to carry. I'm sure all of them looked forward to taking part in the procession. Just in case anything should go wrong, 5 of them had brought along a little extra oil. Now, this was an old Eastern wedding, so they were all waiting at the bride's home, not for the bride, but for the bridegroom. It was the custom for him to come to the home of the bride and lead her away to his own. The girls weren't sleepy at first. I suppose they were as happy as most bridesmaids usually are, as they talked about the bride, the bridegroom, and their own chances of getting married. But as time went on and the bridegroom did not appear, they began to yawn and grow drowsy. No longer did they stand on tiptoe looking for the procession to come. Instead, they sat down on the grass and grumbled at the delay. "Whatever can have happened?" sighed one. "I wish the bridegroom would hurry up." "I'm going to have 5 minutes sleep," said another. "I'm tired. Wake me up, girls, when you see him coming." At this, she lay down and was soon fast asleep. Another girl followed suit. Then another and another until they all slumbered and slept. One by one, the little lamps flickered and went out. By and by, the only light came from the stars shining overhead. Hour after hour went by, and the 10 sleepy girls slept on. Suddenly, at midnight, they heard somebody shouting, "The bridegroom's coming! Everybody go to meet him!" The girls stirred and awoke. They rubbed their eyes. The procession was indeed coming down the street. They jumped to their feet, straightening their dresses and patting their hair in place. Then they remembered their lamps. All were out, and the wicks were thick with carbon. Quickly, the girls began to trim them, for they couldn't join the procession without their lamps. Then 5 of them made a terrible discovery. They had no oil. "Lend us some of yours," they begged the others. "Sorry," said the others, "but we don't have a drop to spare." "But what shall we do? We'll miss the wedding," cried the 5 who had no oil. "Better go and buy some," said the others. "What, at this time of night? There might be a store open. You could try." Frantically, the 5 dashed off into the darkness. While they were gone, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Then the saddest thing happened. The 5 girls who had gone off looking for oil came back, breathless with running. They were too late. They had missed both the procession and the wedding. They banged on the door, crying, "Let us in, let us in!" But nobody opened it. The bridegroom merely called from within, "I don't know you." The lesson here is that we must always be ready for his return. "Watch, therefore," he said, "for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." It could well be that as the Prince of Prophets, he was looking down the long, long years to our time. Perhaps he was thinking of you and me, knowing how easy it is for us to give up hope in his coming, get careless and sleepy, and let our lives go out. "Watch," he says to us, "keep awake. Look out for the signs of my return." Someday the cry will be heard again, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." From city to city, country to country, the wonderful news will spread like wildfire. Jesus is coming. Some will be ready to meet him, and some will not. Some will be in his kingdom, and some will be left out. In which group will you be? Let us all be ready with our lamps trimmed and burning till he comes. Knowing that he would soon be leaving his disciples and going away for a long, long time, Jesus tried to give them all good advice he knew that they would have to have while he was gone. That is why he told them the story of the 10 sleepy girls. He wanted them to be ready always for his return. But just being ready was not enough. They must make the most of their lives, serving God faithfully every day and using every chance to tell others of his love. To make this plain, Jesus told another story. This was about a merchant who went on a long trip into a far country. Before leaving, this man called three of his servants and handed each of them a certain amount of money, to every man according to his several ability to use it. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to the third 1. Then, after urging each to do his best, he went on his journey. The man with the 5 talents started to work at once, buying and selling until he has made his 5 talents 10. The man with the 2 talents did the same, only he didn't earn quite so much. Even so, he made a 100% gain. So his 2 talents became 4. But the man with the 1 talent mainly dug a hole in the ground, buried his talent, and took his life easy. He told his friends that he didn't see why he should work while the boss was away on a vacation. By and by, the merchant returned and called his servants to account for the money he had entrusted to them. The first came and told how he had traded with the 5 talents and earned 5 more. "Well, good. Well done, good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much more." Then the second servant told what he had done. "Master, you gave me 2 talents. Here are 2 more. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the master. "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." Lastly, the 1 talent man came to report. He was a surly sort of fellow. "Master," he said, "I knew you were the kind of man who just makes profits out of other men's work. So I buried your old talent. Here it is. Take it. You can have it back." At this, the merchant was very upset. "You wicked and lazy servant. Why didn't you at least put my money in the bank so I could have gained interest in it?" Then he added, "Take the talent from him and give it to the man with the 10 talents, and throw this worthless servant outside in the dark." There is a lesson here for all of us. The merchant in this story is Jesus. He has gone away to a far country. To each of his disciples he has given talents according to his ability. Some have 5, some have 2, some have only 1. But he expects all of us to use them the best we know how. You know, we all have talent. Maybe your talent is playing music. Maybe your talent is singing. Maybe your talent is being able to help take care of baby brother and sister. Or maybe your talent is that you can clean up your room real fast. Or maybe you help mom put away groceries. Or maybe you help dad mow the lawn. We all have talents. Some of us can do things physically. Some of us do things music-wise. And some of us, we're quick learners and are good at studying. We all have a talent. But if we don't have that talent, but if we don't use that talent, then it will be taken away. How many times have I seen people that can play the piano or can sing, and they do it for a little while, and they're really good at it, but they get bored? Oh, well, when they don't realize how important music is to the ministry, and how it helps heals people's soul and enthuses people and makes them happy and brings a message just as important as the minister does when he preaches. They have this talent, but they don't use it. And you know what? Eventually, it's taken away. Someday when he returns, he's going to ask us what we have done with all the good gifts he has given us. But you say, "He never gave me any money." Maybe not, but money isn't the only talent. Your voice is a talent with the power to talk and sing. Your brain is a talent with the power to think and plan. Your hands are a talent with the power to write, to play music, to do good to the needy. Stop a moment right now and count your talents. You'll probably find that you have more than 5, maybe 10. And Jesus wants you to use them to his glory. Perhaps you're saying, but I've only got 1 talent. All right, just don't bury it. Make the most of it. Use it. Watch it grow. It's not the number of talents that we have that matters, but how faithful we are in using them. Jesus wants us to be faithful in that which is least, in the few things, the littlest things we do for him. And when the day of reckoning comes, how happy you will be to hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That "well done" with a smile and a handshake will be reward enough for anything any of us ever did for him. After telling his disciples to be ever on the watch for his return, in the meantime to make the most of their talents he had given them, Jesus drew back the curtain of the future once more and let them glimpse the wonderful scene which he will sit at last upon his throne of glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," he said, "and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left." As the disciples pictured this happy day, their eyes sparkled with gladness. How they wanted their master to be a king. How they longed to see his dream of a worldwide kingdom of love come true. How they hoped that they might have a part in it someday. But what to do about the sheep and goats? Who were the sheep and who were the goats? How would Jesus separate them? Eagerly, they waited for the rest of the story. And Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say unto you, as you did it to the one of least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' These are the sheep, Christ's sheep. They stand at his right. They are the men and the women, boys and girls, who show kindness to others, whose hearts are filled with love and sympathy for the least of our brothers. They inherit his kingdom. And the goats? They are the little selfish people who never give a thought to other people's needs and suffering. To them Jesus will say, 'I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' They will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and did not minister to you?' And he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, your brethren, you did not do it for me.' There will be no kingdom for these people. So it is love that makes the difference. It is love that separates those who are saved from those who are lost. It is love that decides whether we shall be among the sheep or the goats in the day of judgment. Love for our white brothers and sisters, love for Jesus Christ, is our passport. If we do not have it in our hearts, we shall never enter the kingdom of Jesus. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and of love. It is made up of people who love one another and who love their God and their people. This is the greatest commandment, to love God and to love his people. If love is so important, maybe we should be looking around to see if there is anyone of our brothers who needs help. Think a moment. Is there somebody you know who is hungry? Maybe you could feed them. Maybe there is a poor boy at school or a little girl that you could share your lunch. What about that new girl in your class or the one who just came to live next door? Are you being friendly? Have you said welcome and meant it? Maybe there's somebody you know who doesn't have money enough to buy clothes. Could you share some of yours? How about sick people around you? Do you ever go to see them? Do you take them flowers or say a prayer for them? Remember that whatever you do like this is out of love, not because you have to, but because you are kind and you are loving. Okay, I will see you all tomorrow. Remember, love your white brothers and sisters and love Jesus, for those are the two greatest commandments. Bye!
Lost your white pride? Find it here at KKK Radio, KKK Radio, KKK Radio.